The Skagway Assembly overturns the mayor's veto of action on the White Pass MOU. And whale sounds teach researchers about the ocean's health. It's the Cageness Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories are up next. A memorandum of understanding between the municipality of Skagway and White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad is moving forward. The assembly advanced the document at a special meeting Thursday, just over a week after a mayoral veto put on the brakes. Last month, the assembly spent several meetings reviewing a draft MOU with the railroad. The document would make way for a new 15-year tidelands lease with the private company and port improvements needed to accommodate larger cruise ships in coming years. It also lays out conditions for the White Pass cleanup and remediation of the ore basin. On November 21st, the group voted unanimously to approve the draft MOU, advancing it to a negotiating committee. But the next day, Mayor Monica Carlson vetoed that action. At a special meeting November 30th, Carlson explained her veto. She said it came down to two things. First, information she recently received about the future of the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority's involvement on the waterfront. Carlson says she recently met with ADA representatives and learned the company isn't planning to extend its lease past 2023.
When I brought it up at the last meeting, the only response that I heard at the table was that's between the leasee and their subleasee, and they have an agreement, not a word otherwise. By the reaction of the table, it was of no concern. If the citizens of Skagway approved the lease, we would assume the ADA lease, its terminal, and ship loader.
Her concern was whether the municipality could assume responsibility for ore terminal cleanup if ADA leaves. A description of the Skagway Ore Terminal project on ADA's website says the lease expires in 2023 and it will not be renewed. A representative from ADA recently told KHNS the future of the lease is unclear, but things could change in the future. Carlson's second reason for veto:
I had no idea that the negotiation committee had scheduled a Monday meeting with White Pass. I was taken aback that I was not notified or told of the scheduled meeting. Had I known, I would have gone forward and scheduled an executive session, and we would not be here tonight.
Some assembly members pushed back on this reasoning. Orion Hansen is on the negotiating committee. He said he thought he was clear about scheduling the meeting Carlson is referring to.
I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. I think this is a delay tactic. And I don't know why, because I really think in the spirit of what we're trying to do, you essentially just stalled negotiations.
Steve Burnham Jr. said the assembly is familiar with the situation around ADA's lease and doesn't feel it has been ignored.
I don't feel like we didn't care or didn't know or were uninformed. I feel like we were and had every possibility and chance to be.
Dan Henry pointed out that the MOU is not legally binding.
You have absolutely nothing but conversation until the assembly approves a legal crafted lease from the city attorney, which is then a final product, and then that has to go to the voters. So to at any time deter any discussions on this matter, I think is a misstep.
Tim Cochran is also on the negotiating committee with White Pass.
I would like to be optimistic about this memorandum of understanding going forward, and we are light years beyond the 2015 MOU and lease, so we've got a lot of protective language in there, over and way over and beyond what we had before, and I'd like to see White Pass agree to that stuff and go forward.
Dave Brenna and Jay Burnham were more understanding of the mayor's veto. Brenna said focusing attention on the ADA sublease was a good idea.
There were valid reasons to veto the progress of the MOU, at least in a way that it would focus attention on an issue that seemed to be kind of skipped over to some degree, and that is what exactly does happen to ADA and in 2023.
Jay Burnham said he didn't have an opinion on whether the action was right or wrong.
I do think that you had concerns about whether we fully understood the ramifications of the ADA lease, and aside from taking each one of us aside and talking to us, I can totally see why you'd want to get us all on the same page and have an executive session.
The Assembly met in executive session with the borough's attorney to address potential legal issues related to the White Pass lease and subleases before voting unanimously to overturn the mayor's veto, moving the MOU forward. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins. Whale watching is a popular pastime in Alaska, but what about whale listening? Dr. Kate Stafford does it for a living. She's been in Sitka this November for the Science in Residency Fellowship, and on a winter day, she recently took a group out on the water to try to capture some sounds and songs from some of Sitka's most vocal creatures. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
Do you hear that gurgling? That's sound from under the ocean's surface, recorded by Dr. Kate Stafford from a kayak in Sitka Sound. Stafford is an oceanographer who studies underwater soundscapes and the sounds made by marine mammals.
Underwater, and in Sitka Sound, for instance, you might expect the soundscape to be dominated by wind noise, perhaps, small boats, fishing boats, and this time of year, probably humpback whales.
She spends a lot of time in the Arctic, recording sounds and peeling through the data. She says sound can tell us a lot about what's going on beneath the surface of the water. Right now, she's working on research about bowhead whales, the jazz singers of the Arctic.
Bowhead whales can live up to 200 years. So they're a really long-lived species. They can push up through a foot and a half of ice. You know, so in so many ways, they're superlative animals.
But bowhead whales aren't in Sitka. So today, she's taking a group out on the water in kayaks, armed with underwater microphones or dipping hydrophones, in the hopes of hearing something a little more local. We're hoping for humpbacks.
And humpback whales sing these elaborate, very regular patterned songs.
A kayak on Sitka Sound is not a very friendly place for expensive electronics. I decided to leave my pricey digital recorder on the beach. Stafford has a bolder strategy. She opens a plastic bag with a Tascam recorder and a bunch of gray and white wires connected to a small microphone shaped a little like a pill. Then she pulls out an Altoids box and opens it up to reveal a tiny speaker. She lowers the hydrophone into the water, and we begin to listen intently, our ears pointed toward the tiny mint tin. That's the sound of a big boat passing. We wait for about 15 minutes, then move again. Still no whale sounds, just boats. Stafford says there's a lot to be learned about the ocean's health by monitoring its sounds. Those boat noises, they can be problematic.
That increase in shipping and oil and gas extraction offshore, it puts a lot of noise into the water. And it appears to be raising overall ambient noise levels. It would be like putting your house and your restaurant and your grocery store underneath a busy highway.
That highway complicates things for whale communication.
So the noise itself just sort of raises the background level. So you have to shout a little louder to be heard, or you have to be closer to the people you want to communicate with to be heard.
And Stafford says in some ways we can even hear climate change. First, with less sea ice, there are more storms in the Arctic, higher winds and waves. That means more noise in the water. And we can hear different species moving north.
So warm water species are suddenly showing up further north because the warm water is moving north. So now in the Arctic, in addition to these bowhead whales and beluga whales, and we don't have narwhals in the Pacific Arctic, but in the Atlantic Arctic, they certainly do. We're starting to hear humpback whales and fin whales and killer whales more often and later in the season because there's less sea ice.
Although we give it about an hour on the sound, Stafford's kayak team doesn't hear any humpbacks today. Luckily, Stafford has a fallback. A few days ago, she went out on the water with whale biologist Jan Straley to install a more durable hydrophone. Over the course of several days suspended in the ocean, the recorder collected plenty of boat sounds, but also this. That gets the humpback feeding call, and then this eerie whale song. Proof that some humpbacks are still hanging around in Sitka Sound. That's what it sounds like, anyway. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins.